Put them together and you can hear it. It's the song everyone knows. A Critical Role fanfic, written by Elsinore Rose. Read by Black Glass as Jester and
Belkaz as Caleb.
Coward. Caleb half starts, so absorbed in his book that he hadn't noticed Jester come into the room. Or maybe she snuck in on purpose, it occurs to him. The library carpet is soft enough to muffle her footsteps, and she does like a good dramatic opening, this one. Well, he supposes, blinking up at her. He doesn't entirely begrudge her the interruption. The treatise on pre-calamity runic traditions that he's holding is fascinating, certainly, but nothing compared to the sight of Jester, leaning with both hands on the other side of the table to glare at him, mischief dancing in her eyes. He affects a long-suffering sigh, closes, and sets down his book with deliberate slowness, and meets her gaze.
Not that I am arguing,
he tells her, trying to hide a smile, though he's pretty sure it's a lost cause.
But would you be more specific?
Mm-hmm. You told Beau we'd make a terrible couple.
Right. Whatever he'd been expecting, it wasn't that. Caleb coughs self-consciously.
It's true. You and Beau would make a terrible couple.
Oh, fuck off, says Jester with a roll of her eyes. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Worth a try, at least. He can feel a familiar heat climbing up his neck and ears.
Beauregard is too nosy for her own good,
he mutters, neither denial nor confirmation, because he has learned after much study that in cases like this, putting up too much of a fight against Jester will only make things go worse for him. Not that they could be going much worse anyway. She has taken his words as an invitation and pulled up a chair, sitting down across from him, elbows on the table, hands eagerly folded in front of her.
You know, Beau told me a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
You two had quite a conversation.
Caleb finds himself stealing glances at the room around them. Why, for fuck's sake, didn't he think to put more than one exit in the library the first time he cast Magnificent Mansion? The only way out is some 10 or so yards in front of him, and there is a flirtatious tiefling in his way, her tail flicking back and forth behind her, like he has seen Frumpkins do right before pouncing. He has a feeling he is not going to get any more reading done tonight. Jester is grinning expectantly. Well, she's not getting an answer out of him that easily.
I hope you had to use that Zone of Truth spell of yours on her,
says Caleb lightly.
Or else she and I are going to be having another conversation very soon.
Oh, don't worry, Caleb. She didn't mean to betray your secrets.
Jester's grin gets wider.
She just talks in her sleep, that's all.
He can't help himself. He leans forward now, mirroring her pose, until their faces are nearly too close for comfort, and stares into her eyes for a long moment. Oh, gods.
Just a level,
he declares, well aware that the blush has crept into his cheeks now.
You are lying.
She leans even closer, so that he could count every freckle if he wanted to, and whispers,
You are a very good lie detector, Caleb Widogast.
Well, that's it, isn't it? She's going to be the death of him. He's actually going to die. Caleb pulls away, leans back into his chair, crossing his arms over his chest, and tries very hard not to look either giddy or panicked.
So anyway,
says Jester brightly, full volume again, in Caleb's quiet library, where he is supposed to be having a quiet night in.
I thought, you know, maybe you had some explaining to do, since obviously you've lost your mind.
Gods help him. He's smiling again.
I think we would make a bad couple, therefore I have lost my mind.
Basically, that's right.
We're going to have this conversation, you and I, right now.
Her eyes sparkle.
Basically, yeah.
Did you even actually talk to Beauregard?
Oh no, she wouldn't tell me anything, not even when I got her drunk,
says Jester happily.
I just mentioned how we'd be, like, so cute together, and she was like, oh, you know, Caleb doesn't think so. and then she looked terrified and shut up right away.
Caleb frowns.
I never said.
Jester beams.
That is not what I said.
Caleb corrects himself, but it's too late. And wow, they really are having this conversation. It's not like, well, like it hasn't been a long time coming, exactly. Well, a little while coming, or a year coming, whatever. Jester said, betraying your secrets. But is it really a secret? They both know they've been flirting with each other. They both know that the names Ford and Astrid aren't magical, or dangerous, or sensitive anymore. Caleb doesn't even bother trying to hide the fact that he's blushing these days, whenever Jester teases him. Because she knows. Because she's doing it on purpose. Because she thinks he looks cute when he's blushing. Which he almost wishes Nott had never, ever told him. Almost. They've been traveling together, the whole Mighty Nine. Saving the world, or saving this or that town, or just saving each other. For nearly 2 years. So it would honestly be impressive, and concerning, if Jester hadn't worked it out by now. 2 years coming. Whatever. But still, he thinks. Still, they haven't talked about it. And if he had his way, they never would, because... Despite what Beau managed to wheedle out of him the other day. Despite the way his heart leans. Despite the past 2 years. He's staring at her. Caleb is pretty sure that train of thought was going someplace. But just at this moment, he couldn't say where to save his life.
So go on.
Jester puts her chin in her hands. Her hair, which she's taken to wearing long recently, tumbles gently past her fingers in soft curls.
Convince me.
He catches his breath.
Convince you?
Yeah. Give me one good reason.
One good? I can give you 20 good reasons.
Oh yeah?
Jester says, raising her eyebrows, like she's just so surprised, like she's ready to be so convinced, you guys.
Okay. Go ahead, then.
Go ahead and...
Give me 20. If you can give me 20 good reasons why we shouldn't be together, you win.
He's getting slow, thinks Caleb. Or she's somehow getting more enchanting, because he should have seen this coming a mile away. But the firelight from the nearby hearth was doing interesting things to the dark violet of Jester's eyes. And by the time he's aware that he's walked into a trap, the cage has already closed around him. Fuck's sake. Any time Jester uses the words, you win, you know you've already lost.
I did not tell Beauregard that we wouldn't be cute together,
he begins, wondering if by some miracle he can distract her.
Or that we would be terrible, just that it would not be a good idea.
Uh-huh. 20. Go.
Okay, fuck it. Why not? What's the worst that can happen? Ignoring many, many terrible things that could happen, Caleb leans forward again and touches the tips of his fingers, counting off.
1, I am too old for you. 2, I am dirt poor. 3, I am still a-
Hold on.
Are you-
He stops, because he can't quite believe what he's seeing, even now. Even after years of loving- of knowing Jester.
Are you writing this down?
Of course I'm writing it down.
She laughs, opening the journal she always carries with her to a blank page, and licking the end of her pencil.
You've got to stay organized, Caleb. We're in a library. What was number 1 again?
Were there any reasons at all, come to think of it? No. Yes. There definitely were. He just said them. Caleb rubs a hand over his face.
I will start over. 1, as I said, I am too old for you. And 2...
Too old. For. Me.
Jester records this with mock solemnity.
All right now, Caleb. This is kind of a bad start, because it's not true.
It is true. Number 2.
But it's not, though.
She cuts him off again.
Because I'm 21, and my birthday is in a few months, so I'm basically 22. And I know you always say you are bad with numbers, but I think that's just to make me feel better about carrying all your money all the time. So even you have to admit.
I am in my 30s, Blueberry.
Oh, please.
Is he missing something?
I am nearly 35, Jester, you know this.
He begins, uneasily.
Yeah, but
and her tail is flicking back and forth as she leans in again.
You spent, 10 years in an insane asylum that you don't remember, didn't you? We're not gonna count that. I'll leave it on the list, you know, because you're going to need help getting to 20, let's be real.
No, hold on.
Caleb holds up a hand.
That's 10 years. They still happened. I don't remember absolutely none of it. It was like...
He stumbles for the right words.
Like living in a fog, or half asleep. I didn't just lose an entire decade, Jester, and even if I had...
She waits for him to trail off this time, instead of interrupting him. And when she does speak, her voice is soft.
So, you were, living life, and having experiences, and maturing and stuff while you were in there?
If it were anyone else, even after all this time. If it were anyone else, Caleb knows. Even not, even Beauregard. He would probably get up and leave the room. Not in anger, not hurt, necessarily. But some things, even after all this time, are still too much. With Jester, though. It is hard for anything to be too much when he's with Jester. It takes him a few moments to respond, with the way his chest has gone tight.
Well,
Caleb clears his throat.
You are not entirely wrong about that.
Jester smiles, a little sad maybe, and Caleb catches himself, for just a moment, hating himself for giving her anything to feel sad about. Only a moment, though, because an echo of Jester's voice, from a not-too-distant conversation, drifts through and stops him.
You're allowed to be sad, you know.
Where were they? Rixentrum? The ruins of Blumenthal?
It sucks, but you're allowed to feel it. It's not the worst thing in the world. You helped teach me that, Caleb.
If you only knew,
he thinks now,
what you have been.
But Jester has broken the gaze they were sharing, and is writing in the journal again.
I'm still gonna leave it on the list, she says, cheerful as ever. But just so you know, you are technically only 24 or 25, Caleb. So just keep that in mind.
Technically, I see. Who could ever argue with that?
He sees her glance up, realize that he is smiling. And now, for the first time tonight, it is Jester who is blushing.
May I continue?
Oh, definitely, she says, ducking her head.
All right then, I am poor.
Number two, you are...
She stops, scowls up at him.
But that's not true, Caleb. You have lots of money now.
We have lots of money,
he corrects her.
We, the Mighty Nine, and we use most of it for things like armor and magic and trying not to die. Not for, not for a house or a family.
Just saying it makes his face burn hotter.
Or to open up a donut shop or whatever.
Oh, I don't care about any of those things, Caleb. You know that.
He raises an eyebrow.
You don't care about a house or a family?
Jester holds her hands up at the room around them.
We have a mansion.
It's not a real mansion, Jester. It's not even on the material plane.
We have our own magnificent magical mansion, Caleb. And it's way nicer than some stupid house.
Now she cocks her head back at the library door.
We have a family, too.
That's not what I...
I know that's not what you meant, tumbles out of her mouth.
And now she's definitely blushing. Won't look him in the eye. Jester won't look him, Caleb, in the eye. Well, this is a little bit delicious, actually.
I was referring more to...
Yeah?
Most relationships eventually end up...
Oh my God,
she says. And without meaning to, he actually laughs out loud.
Go fuck yourself, she adds.
That actually wouldn't.
Number three,
roars Jester, scrawling it into the journal. It's Caleb's turn to grin.
I have never seen you embarrassed to talk about this sort of thing. Ever.
Well, she mumbles, staring resolutely at the page. It's never been about you before.
He has nothing to say to that. Just watches her scribbling what looks like random shapes in the margins of the page. her response delicate, fingers slender and practiced. After a moment, she pauses and looks up at him again.
Number three?
She repeats.
Ah.
Yes.
We are leaving number two on the list, then.
I told you.
She smiles.
I'm being nice. You're never going to get to 20.
Caleb is starting to worry she might be right. But this is Jester, giving him a challenge, and there is no way in hell he is backing down from that.
All right,
says Jester, half an hour later, setting down her pencil and smoothing out the page in front of her.
Let's see where we are at.
Caleb has one hand under his chin, leaning forward so he can read Jester's writing upside down, so he knows exactly where they are at. But he doesn't mind a minute to stop talking and collect his thoughts. Because, well, this list is not quite going the way he had planned.
Number one.
Jester clears her throat.
You are too old for me. Wrong, but sure. Number two, you are poor. Also wrong, but also sure.
She flicks a strand of hair out of her face with the end of her pencil. It's the most fascinating thing he's ever seen.
Number three. You are technically still on the run. Doesn't count. I am technically still exiled. We are both fugitives. Who cares? But sure.
Sure.
Echoes Caleb, watching her hair fall back over her face again.
Number four. Overprotective mother. Doesn't like you. Not actually that overprotective. Does actually like you. Even if she didn't, I'm a fucking adult. Totally wrong. But sure.
He could reach out with his other hand and tuck that curl behind her ear properly, he thinks. He could actually do that. She would let him. She'd go all quiet and soft. But he's not positive what he would or would not do after that, or what he would or would not be able to stop himself from doing.
Number five, you are a cat person and I am a dog person. This is ridiculous, Caleb.
It is ridiculous.
He agrees.
You can cross that one out.
No. Fair is fair. Once it's on the list, it stays.
Really? We are sticking with that now?
Jester coughs.
Number six?
If we're leaving that, I should get all those other ones you crossed out, shouldn't I?
She gives him a look, which he returns wholeheartedly. So with a put-upon sigh, she continues.
Number 6 through 10. Murderer. Liar. Torturer. Thief. War criminal. Happy.
Surprisingly, given what you just read out.
I have to renumber everything now, she mutters.
Yeah, well, that's a tall order. Maybe we should just say I win.
In your dreams,
she taunts, sing-song and lovely. Caleb nearly remarks that this would be very much not in his dreams. He is only saved when Jester finishes writing and sets down her pencil again.
Right. So we are at number 11.
Her brow furrows.
I still think this one is a little weird. You don't like the gods.
Is that what you put down?
He grabs the journal and slides it around to his side of the table before she can protest.
That's not exactly what I said.
It's basically what you said.
He smiles, because of course that's what she heard.
I said that I am not particularly religious, and that a cleric should probably date someone with a little more faith in the universe. I never said I did not like the gods or believe in them. How could I not believe in your traveler? He has saved my life more than once.
He has. Lots of times.
And I'm very grateful.
Caleb slides the journal back to her.
I just can't see myself ever worshipping any of them.
Jester gives a small, but she's still smiling.
I guess I'll just have enough faith for the both of us then.
You always have, Jester.
There's a beat, while they stare at each other. While Caleb wonders at the shape of her nose, the curve of her lips, the trust and hope in her heart. While the table between them begins to feel very small, and then like it's not even there, and then... Jester sits up a little straighter.
I should probably keep...
Keep reading, yeah.
Caleb sits up too.
Number 12, reads Jester. I'm out of your league. But, like, just barely, Caleb. You're very handsome when you aren't covered in mud. Number 13, I have a serious pastry addiction that you find very concerning. Well, that's certainly true. 14, you are allergic to my perfume. That is a lie. 15, you're terrible in bed. She scoffs. I have it on good authority. That's not true. You're just getting desperate now.
You... who's...
16, if we slept in the same bed, Frumpkin might eat sprinkle. Jester sets down the journal. Now this is a real concern, Caleb. We're going to have to talk about this.
This is the one we have to talk about?
He's your familiar. So I think it's your job to make sure he doesn't kill my pets.
Wait, that one was just a joke. Would Sprinkle actually be in our bed? Seriously?
Sprinkle is with me everywhere, says Jester gravely. Caleb scratches the back of his neck.
I am starting to have some regrets.
Aw, Caleb, don't worry. She beams at him. You've got 18 whole reasons here so far. You might still win.
You do realize even if I lose, I don't actually have to date you.
He smiles, but she's ignoring him. And well, fair enough. Number 17. I just put emotional baggage, honestly, because you gave me, like, a whole paragraph, and I thought that basically summed it up. Number 18.
What? No response to that one.
He says it as casually as he can, but there's a burning in his heart that she must be able to hear regardless.
Just moving right along.
Oh, well. Jester glances up, searching his face, and trails off.
Go on.
It's just... She swallows. One of her fingers starts fiddling with the corner of the page, folding it back and forth. I mean, we both have emotional baggage, right? Everybody's got issues. Caleb thinks of the lavish chateau, of blue dragons, of a tunnel under a well.
I think you are pretty well adjusted, actually, all things considered.
I don't know. Her voice is very small. I feel pretty fucked up some of the time. Without giving himself time to reconsider, Caleb reaches out and takes her hand.
You are wonderful, Jester.
She squeezes his hand, and a shadow seems to move across her face, like a cloud passing before the sun, about to be blown away by the wind.
We are all a little fucked up. Besides, it is not a contest.
Exactly. She smiles, squeezing his hand again. The shadow vanishes. That's exactly my point.
If it was a contest, I would win.
I mean, you were almost gonna go back in time and fuck us all over because of your issues, so yeah. Her words hit him like a blow. He lets go of her hand. Immediately, Jester covers her mouth, horrified.
Oh, Caleb!
No, it's fine.
Caleb rubs his arm.
It's fine. It's true. You were just agreeing with me.
Yeah, but Caleb...
Don't worry about it. 18 was next, right?
He leans forward and reads her handwriting in reverse.
Our kids would look really weird with blue skin and red hair. That's a very valid point, you know. That should stay on the list for sure.
Caleb! There are tears in her eyes. He sits back in his chair, exhales, tries to speak, but there's nothing. All at once, the weight of exactly why they were making this list in the first place crashes down on him.
You asshole,
he thinks.
You fucking stupid man, what were you playing at?
Caleb? Jester stands up. She walks around to his side of the table, puts a hand on his shoulder. He shrugs it off. She puts it back again, relentless. I'm so sorry, she begins.
Don't be sorry.
His own voice sounds foreign to him after the past hour or so of conversation.
You said nothing wrong.
His eyes are burning.
I should probably...
She kneels down next to his chair, so that she's looking up at him, her hand soft on his arm.
You are the best person, she says, holding his gaze. The best man that I know. No, don't look away. Hey! Her grip on his arm tightens. You are the best friend I have ever had. You are kind and good and brave, and there is nothing about you that scares me, or that makes me want you even a little bit less. Caleb feels like he's going to choke.
Fuck, Jester,
he manages to gasp.
You deserve someone who doesn't hate himself.
For a moment, she just keeps staring at him, her eyes shining. Then silently, she gets up and goes back to the other side of the table. Number 19. He sees her right. You hate yourself.
Jester.
It's on the list. She drops the pencil. His throat aches.
Just let me.
I'm not done.
She takes a deep breath. It's on the list.
It's okay if you hate yourself, because I can love you enough for the both of us, Caleb, if I have to.
Gods help him. It's too much. It's too much.
So, that's 19. You need one more reason.
I can't think of anything,
he says truthfully, unable to take his eyes off her. Jester wipes away her unfallen tears.
You told me 20, she reminds him,
her voice still shaking slightly.
Yeah, I did.
20, or you have to date me.
That is still not how this works, but sure.
Well?
Caleb stands, and for just a moment, only a moment, he thinks, this is a bad idea. It's an echo of Jester's voice, from long ago, from Rexentrum, or the ruins of Blumenthal that keeps him going.
You're allowed to be sad, you know.
Her hand, slipping easily into his.
But you're also allowed to be happy. I hope you let yourself one day, Caleb. How about number 20?
Jester is saying, as he walks around the table towards her.
You're not in love with me.
That won't work.
Why not?
You know why,
he says, right before he kisses her. It's perfect. That's all. It's just perfect. Maybe the only perfect thing in his life so far, he thinks, when he is eventually able to think again. Jester is kissing him back, her hands in his hair, and he wonders, why did he wait 2 years for this? Why did he wait 2 days? There were reasons, he's sure of it. But just at this moment, he can't imagine what they were. End of story. Thanks for listening.